You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is common for people to use the phrase, basic human needs. And if you ask the ordinary person, 99 times out of 100, to start listing basic human needs, they will say things like food and water, shelter and clothing, and things of that nature, which truly are basic human needs. But these things that we tend to get in our minds first tend to be both material and very individualistic. And I'm going to suggest this morning that one of the basic needs that each of us has and is often overlooked is the need for human companionship, the need to exist with other people in human relationships. Now, we all have this need, even though we just assume that it takes care of itself. We are in, first of all, human relationships in our immediate families, then our extended families, our circle of friends, our community, our neighborhood, our school, our workplace, you name it. We have all kinds of ways to satisfy this very basic human craving to be with other people. Now, some people try to buck the trend and go against the crowd, but even the most dedicated hermits and introverts eventually come around and in some way or another need their fellow human beings. And so human companionship, this need to exist in society, is built into our DNA as human beings, and it can be both a blessing and sometimes a very serious problem, a danger if we don't pay attention to it. And as I look over the scriptures for this particular Sunday, the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, it strikes me that the lesson that they are trying to teach us is to pay some attention to our human needs. Because I'm going to suggest, after we look at the scriptures, that when you don't pay attention to them, it's just as bad as ignoring your physical health or your other basic needs. Now, I don't usually start with the middle reading, the second reading, because usually St. Paul is up in the clouds someplace, but this week we got a different exception here. This reading, and it might be the only time in the church year that we get a reading from the letter to Philemon. Now, if you look in your New Testament when you get home, you will see in all the different letters that St. Paul wrote, Corinthians, Thessalonians, and all those things, they're almost all written to churches, big groups of people, either praising them or telling them to straighten up one way or another. But near the end, there are a couple letters that St. Paul wrote to individuals, his disciples, Timothy and Titus. And then there's this person called Philemon. And the letter to Philemon, I didn't look it up early this morning, but I think it's no more than a page or two in the New Testament. And it's taking care of some human relationship business. And there's a couple names mentioned here. Besides Philemon, there is a fellow named Onesimus. Now, as nearly as we can piece the story together, and we don't have the full picture, St. Paul had converted Philemon to Christianity in his missionary travels, and I don't even know where the man lived, frankly, but Philemon was a good Christian. Back in those days, slavery was also a common institution, and Philemon had this slave named Onesimus. So they had that very unequal relationship. And after Paul evangelized and was getting ready to move on to the next town, it seems that Onesimus snuck out Philemon's back door and went with Paul, and eventually ended up in Rome, where he was taking care of Paul when he was in prison. Paul eventually sees that the end of his life is coming near, and so the situation was he needs to send Onesimus back to Philemon. I mean, the poor man had to go somewhere after Paul was put to death, and so he had to go back. And Paul is writing this letter of intercession, asking Philemon to take him back, not as a slave, but as a brother. In other words, no longer in an unequal relationship, but as equals in the faith. And we assume that that's exactly what happened. But it's a wonderful little story of Paul in his pastoral mode, paying attention to somebody's human need and fixing a damaged relationship. Because the relationship of master and slave was based on dominance and power and dependency. And St. Paul didn't want Onesimus, after he had no need of him anymore, to go back and to re-enter that horrible relationship. And so that's the story behind the first reading. The gospel reading in Luke here needs a little bit of comment. And I hope you kind of twitched a little bit when I said, or Jesus said, if anyone comes to me without hating father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and so on. I want to suggest to you that this is a terrible translation of what Jesus meant. I mean, just think about it for a second. Would Jesus, the Son of God, advise anybody to hate anybody? No, that's what happens when you get something that goes from one language to the next and to the next in translation. Jesus would not advise you to hate your family or anybody else for that matter. What he was saying, and the reason, by the way, is, which sometimes people don't understand, Jesus did not speak English. I hope you know that. The English language didn't even come into existence until about 1,000 years later. So obviously we're dealing with a very bad translation. What Jesus is saying is that even when it comes to your family, you have to have healthy relationships and not dependency or dominance. And that's the type of distance he's trying to say, that when you come to be his disciples, you got to fix your human relationships where they are damaged, even if that's in your own immediate family. So that's the explanation of this very bad word here in English, hating. That's not what he meant. Jesus was quite clear, however, to his disciples that they had to be willing to put some space between their human relationships and also their possessions. How often did he say, sell everything you have and come follow me? So Jesus is advising his disciples and us that we have to pay some attention to how we relate both to people and to the possessions that we have. And then lastly, so that we don't ignore any of the readings, the first reading was from the Book of Wisdom, that Ann Landers part of the Old Testament, where you get all this good advice. And the Book of Wisdom, in this case, is telling us how difficult it is sometimes to think in God's language and to get rid of our worldly way of looking at things. At any rate, I think we need to do what the people in Jesus' parable were advised to do, to sit down and calculate and take stock of our human relationships. I think I could say with some confidence that after 47 years as a priest, I've dealt with a lot of people, not only in the sacrament of penance, but in counseling relationships. Now in my prison ministry, I would say well over half, if not 90% of the problems that people are dealing with have got something to do with relationships that have gone bad because they didn't pay attention to them and cultivate them in a mature way. Surely the men I deal with in the penitentiaries during the week, I would say almost all of them are there because they had a bad relationship or no relationship with their father, or they have a problem dealing with authority. So human relationships, when they are not maintained, just as we maintain our physical health, tend to go south and get out of control. So it's good for us who sit here in church on Sunday morning to make sure that we take stock of the relationships that we have. And the first relationship, just to mention it, you have to have a good relationship with yourself. You have to have a healthy self-image without being proud and conceited. And you have to be able to be open enough to say, I'm not perfect. I need other people's love and help and to allow other people into our lives. Because if you're so isolated and walled off from other human beings, maybe even in your own family, you can be absolutely sure that you're going to be incapable of relating to anyone. So you got to have a good image, first of all, of yourself, and look yourself in the mirror when you go in the bathroom the first thing in the morning and say, I'm not perfect, but I'm okay and God loves me. And we're going to try to make something work here. That's number one. Number two, most of our life is spent trying to have good and healthy relationships with other people, in our families and all the other places that I mentioned. And it is good to check ourselves from time to time on our sensitivity to other people. Because if we are truly mature in our human relationships, we respect other people and we do not try to dominate them or control them or bend them to our way of acting. That type of bad relationship is called dependency. And in psychology, when both sides are dependent, we call it codependency. And that's even worse. And so we as Christians want to be, like Paul was telling Philemon and Onesimus, in a relationship that is based on freedom, maturity, and respect, not on any kind of dominance, control, or dependency. And lastly, so that we can be complete, and that's the reason we come to church on Sunday morning, we have to pay attention to our relationship to God. Now, Jesus went out of his way to tell his followers over and over again that God is a loving Father. God wants to be in this good relationship with each and every one of us. But how often, and maybe it was because of bad teaching or something, I don't know, how often did we grow up thinking of God as the guy with the big stick who's out to get you and punish you? That's just an absolutely horrible image of God. Nobody can have a healthy relationship with a God who is mean and ugly like that. And so we've got to make sure that we get that out of our spiritual system as well, that we do not think of God as out to get you. You do that, you don't have a prayer anyway, because who is worthy when you get down to it? God wants to love us, and God wants to have mercy on us. At any rate, that's just a little across-the-board take on our relationships, ourselves, other people, even God himself. We come here on Sunday morning as church. Church, by the way, is supposed to be a model of healthy relationships. We gather at the Eucharistic table not as people who dominate one over the other, but as truly free and liberated followers of Jesus Christ. You might say that the reason we come together every Sunday is to get a good lesson in right relationships. May God help us to learn that lesson. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.